morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. A fine Monday morning. Spirits very high in the room this morning. To be sure. Yesterday, notwithstanding, it was a great weekend. And, I think personally, professionally, all of it. We'll get into all of it. We've got 4 hours to explore the space with you, our beloved Tier 1 Army out there. You guys are unbelievable. And I can't thank you enough for what you do. Little news you can use here. First thing off the bat, I'll introduce the show, though. I got Paulie Reindl, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
I got Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. I think I've told this to you before, Benjamin. Today's Great Lakes Awareness Day. Mm. Do you remember my... It's an anagram, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember my anagram so that you'll never, ever forget the Great Lakes again, ever?
Yes.
Paulie, do you remember my anagram?
I do not.
My dad taught this to me when I was 10 years old. One of those things that has stuck with me for 38 years. I've never gone to my head. No problem. I got you. Do you remember what it was?
Holmes.
Huron. Ontario. Michigan. Erie. Superior. Holmes. Boom. Great Lakes appreciated. Done. Checked it off the list today.
Hell yeah.
That's how we started on a Monday. Just news you can use. You'll never forget it.
I love news you can use.
And I love little tips like that that help me on things like that. You know, I don't know how many times, I've been held up at gunpoint. Like, you name the Great Lakes or you're a dead man. Like, I got you, dude. Okay. It's Holmes. Holmes. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior. But weird how things like that that your parents teach you, you forget mostly everything they teach you. But that has always stuck with me. So I saw that on the rundown and I went, oh, all right, well, I'm gonna clue our audience in too.
Isn't now, that weird how your memory works?
It's so weird.
Like, do you guys remember your home phone numbers like growing
up?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
It's been 30 years.
Yep. I remember my very first.
Wow, I do.
I remember my first cell phone number. I remember all of that. But I don't remember what we had for dinner on Friday night. I didn't eat dinner on Friday night. I was working a Seals game.
I remember the address of the place I lived in when I was 12.
Like. Same. I remember the address of the place I lived in when I was 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy how it
619-436-6210.
Someone's going to call it.
Well, so they can find. I mean, I'm so old that we lived in Encinitas and had a 619 area code back in the day before they changed them all.
Because you lived in the country,
lived out in Liebenhain, right. Deep in the country,
deep boondocks,
in the boondocks of San Diego. Next Gen Brakes says that's very stupid, Woods. I don't. What is trying to help you so that if you're ever held up at gunpoint, you don't die? Listen. Next Gen Brakes. If you don't remember that, some bad things could happen to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay? What if you find yourself on Final Jeopardy one day?
100%.
And it's a Great Lakes category. You're going to be very glad that Woods gave you the mnemonic device.
I can't even help people without people being mad at me. That's literally one of the most helpful tips I have in my quiver of arrows. It's one of the most helpful tips I have, and I can't even do that without catching some heat. From Next Gen Brakes. Anyway, I hope you guys had a great weekend. It was a little nutty. I'll say that. AJ Preller just crushed me on Friday. Not crushed me. He made me very happy on Friday. But that trade came down.
Morning, guys.
Morning. That trade came down to grab Luis Arraez as like the lights went out at Pechanga Arena, San Diego. The Sirens dancers were coming out for the Seals game. My phone went, just text after text after text. Our big boss was texting me, Michael, Adam texting me, asking us if we wanted to come in and do a show.
6:32 p.m.
Bro, the lights were going out in Pechanga. We were getting ready for the game presentation. And I'm looking and I'm going, oh, my God. And I'm trying to focus on this huge playoff game.
You know what? I got to go, guys.
Seriously.
Adam needs me to call into the pregame show.
I'm sitting there going, this is insane. This is insane. This guy is a madman. A madman. And so, of course, you see that the trades come through. You don't know who's going.
It's that
immediate gut dropping.
Why does that happen every trade with the Padres?
It's always,
we know who we're getting, and then we got to wait 15, 20 minutes to find out, who's going.
And so the Seals game starts, and it was a train wreck. It was probably the worst job we did as a collective all season long, and we lost that game, and then we lost yesterday. So the season's over, which I'm completely bummed about. It's such a weird feeling, Ben. You can probably attest to this. Like, I love that team so much. I give everything I have every time I have the microphone in my hand there. I scream, I yell, I bang on the glass. I leave those games, I'm drenched in sweat, and I'm like, I feel like I got hit by a car. The next morning, I can't sleep at night. I'm so fired up. Now that it's over, I'm like, all right, we'll get them next year. Because I was staring down the barrel of having to go back there this Friday. Hannah this morning goes, does it feel nice not having a game on Friday? I go, it does. It does. As sad as I am, as bummed as I am for the guys, I looked at the other teams in it and I go, we were going to be a little short. And we were.
You're just glad that the stress,
yeah,
that a lot of which you can't control,
correct,
is going to be over. Would you be even happier, though, if they had won and they did have a game? You would be. You'd be even happier if they won and you had a game.
If they had won yesterday in Albany and handled business, I would have bitched and moaned. And this is what I always do. Like, Fridays come around and I look at Hannah, I go, I don't want to go tonight. I'm so tired. She goes, and then the minute I walk into Pechanga, it's like, oh, I'm so excited to be there, and I'm way into the moment, and I get way into the games, and I love it. But it's the drive down, it's the foreboding all week long, knowing I've got a game to go and call. But the season's over. I was pretty bummed, and you know, to be one of the last teams standing is a big deal. Certainly, they played really well all year long. Friday night was one of the worst games you've ever seen, officiating wise. We did a terrible job as game presenters. I mean, it was kind of an S show, and just never had the vibe that night. But season's over, and we'll get them next year. A lot to look forward to with this team, and don't think they're going anywhere. Happy to be here, and they play really hard, so I love them. My shout-out to all the Seals and all the fans that came out this year. You guys were incredible. Really turned that place into a pretty insane venue for those games. But we got bigger news to talk about today here on Ben and Wood, certainly, and that trade was really, really something else for Luis Arraez, and I'm looking forward to talking about it with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was a surprise, but it wasn't an absolute shock. We actually even discussed it on the roundtable on Thursday, just kind of reminding everybody that this had been hanging in the air, and I think most baseball experts assumed, well, no big trades happen in May because it's too early in the season. No one throws in the towel in May, so you're not going to trade a key player, but the Marlins, to their credit, were already aware that their season was over in May, and why not get a head start on the inevitable rebuild that they've got coming up? And I think they also realized that Luis Arraez, a really good player, and I think a really good addition for the San Diego Padres, also wasn't going to be a difference maker for them in any way, shape, or form, other than giving fans a guy that they could follow to watch for a batting title. Not going to put a team on his shoulders and carry them to victory. And by the way, that is also true for the San Diego Padres. Well, this is a good addition. He's not the kind of player that you can just ride. He's got a hot streak. We're good to go. You know, Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado are those kind of players. Luis Arraez is not. He's a really, really good complementary player if you've already got a good team. And hopefully the Padres have a good enough team that they can take advantage of what Luis Arraez does well, and that is hit a lot of singles and a few doubles, and is good at setting the table, is great at making contact, better than anybody in baseball right now at putting the bat on the ball. And sometimes when you put the bat on the ball, good things happen. A lot of times for him, good things tend to happen. But not the kind of player that you go, he's on a hot streak, we're going to win 12 of the next 14 games. No, you need other players to still come through. It doesn't really change, in my mind, what has to happen for this Padres team to be successful, and that is, stars got to play like stars at some point if they want to have a chance to go to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I mean, you could see what he brought to the table in his debut. It was astounding. And when you watch where we were talking about it in the dugout yesterday at the Tier 1 baseball game, and if you're a pitcher and that's the leadoff hitter, it changes the entire complexion of your attack plan. It just does, because you say to yourself, can't go up, he'll go the other way. Can't go in, he will pull it down the line for a double. Can't go middle, he can certainly handle that. Can't go low and in, he'll whip those hands through. He hit every different pitch they threw, all in different locations on Friday night, It's incredible. It completely changes the complexion of your attack plan.
He's not a guy that you brought in that's going to come in and hit 30 bombs, but he is the ultimate table setter at the top of your lineup.
And
also, if Manny and Fernando don't play like stars, if the stars don't play like stars, we're not going anywhere. Correct. So it doesn't really matter.
So it doesn't matter. But to have a guy on, you know, seemingly every AB, at least half the time, you know, at least half the time that guy's going to be on base. That is inherently a really, really good thing for the San Diego Padres. You know, you put him on the White Sox, like you said, they're not going to go on some miraculous run. You put him on the Marlins, and you know, they weren't really going to go anywhere with him.
Well, and don't forget, one major detail of this trade was I would have been stoked if they got him even at full price.
Right.
But to get him for pennies on the dollar, mm-hmm. I mean, you are paying him the league minimum.
$600,000.
You somehow got the Marlins to pay almost his entire salary. That's a steal.
Yeah,
which is looking even more important this morning that the Padres have a little bit of financial flexibility remaining this season in case they still need to add pitching at some point. And with Joe Musgrove going on the injured list, hopefully it'll be like Yu Darvish in just a couple of weeks. They did say it's mostly precautionary and they're not overly worried. He could have gone if it, you know, was a playoff game. They felt like he probably could have pushed himself forward, but why do that early in the season?
So I saw triceps tendonitis, and then I saw
elbow inflammation.
Okay.
They talked about both. Mike Schild after the game, and we can play that sound a little bit later. You know, discussed it in a little more detail and said had a decent throwing session. If we had to throw him on Tuesday, we probably could, but let's go the precautionary route. Be careful at this stage of the season. It does feel, especially with Matt Waldron struggling. We'll have our Padres wrap up coming up. Padres probably need one more pitcher at some point, and now they still have somewhere between, I think, $10 and $12 million before hitting that final luxury, that first luxury tax level that they want to stay under, that they could spend, you know. And that means if you wait until July, half the season's over, you could get a $20 million pitcher because you're only paying them $10 million and still stay under the luxury tax. So you will have available to you, if there are pitchers available in trade, to acquire someone who could be pretty good at that point in the season. And it looks like the Padres do need to keep at least some money available to add pitching at some point. I thought the price for Arise, when the first reports came out, and it was Arise for Dylan Head, Nathan Martorella, and Usyk Go.
I thought that's
incredible. that is what are the Marlins doing? And then a couple minutes later, Jacob Marcy was added to the deal. Okay, Arizona Fall League MVP, stock on the rise, although he's off to a slow start this year. And I got, okay, that seems a little more reasonable for a deal like that. But then found out what, like Paul said, about them picking up all the cash, essentially, on Arise's deal this year, plus the money that the Padres, you know, unfortunately gave to Usyk Go. They got out from under that, and I go, I still like this deal. It's depth in the Padres organization, but it's not the top prospects that AJ Preller wanted to hold on to, and they're getting someone that they absolutely do need, another bat that can either be a designated hitter or get some of the regulars off their feet when he goes and plays the infield like he did yesterday. All around, a good move by AJ Preller and the San Diego Padres. Again, not one that's going to put them over the top as World Series champions. They'll need their players that are already on the team to lift them to that, but definitely something that's going to help the rest of the season.
But you look at the roster, or the lineups that went out on Saturday and Sunday, and you go, that team can compete.
Yeah, 100%.
And I am a man of my word. I remember saying 6 weeks ago when Preller went out and got Dylan Cease, I go, man, I didn't think this team was a Dylan Cease away from being contenders. And all of a sudden, I'm all in, but I'm greedy. I want another bat.
Yep.
We went out and got one of the bats in baseball. So I'm all in again. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, I think it was a very savvy move. And, you know, when we were at fantasy camp and we were at spring training, I talked to a lot of the guys that worked with Marcy and Martorella and all those guys. And they all said to a man, and I said it on the air, these guys are dogs, straight up. Which, hey, listen, it may suck to lose them down the road. It's not going to suck to lose them right now. Neither of those guys were ready for the big leagues this year.
Not Manny Machado's prime, and Joe Musgrove's going to get older, and Darvish is going to get older.
And even, you know, I said
Bogart's going to get older.
I said it last year last week in the roundtable too, Benny. You always kind of have to be in buy mode since you've committed to Manny, and since you've committed to Xander, and since you've committed to Toddy, and since you've committed to Cronenworth, and since you've committed to Darvish, and since you've committed to Joe Musgrove, you are in buy mode. And this move, I think, will fortify the lineup, certainly, lengthen the lineup, certainly, and allow them to hang around, which is all we really want to do. And we've been saying that like a mantra, just hang around. And I think that this really helps them do that. I think it helps them hang around.
If you've got some thoughts on the trade, you can join us on our YouTube stream. The chat is live. We've got it right in front of us. You can also tweet us, X us at Ben and Woods, and you can give us a call, 833-288-0973. When we come back, we will set the menu for the rest of the Monday program and start talking about what happened over the weekend as well with your San Diego Padres. Good Monday morning. All of us together. Should be a good week here. It's Ben and Woods. Let's check traffic with Kelly and off and running on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's AJ Preller in full save his job mode right now. We'll discuss. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods on a Monday morning on 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I'm not a big Majesty of Dawn guy. It just means you've gotten up way too early. And
is that an adult film?
Should be sleeping. No. The Majesty of Dawn, you know. Waking up early, seeing the sunrise thing. This morning, wow. The sunrise, did you see it?
No, so, I was here at like 4:30.
I saw a very little tiny bit of it.
Looking out to the east, there was, I had never seen this, just a crescent of a moon that was coming up just before the sun in the orange sky in the east, looking out over the hills of like Mission Trails as we're heading the 52 east. One of the best San Diego sunrises I've seen in a very long time, but still I'd rather be sleeping in. So not a huge Majesty of Dawn, but it was nice this morning. And if tier ones were up early, you know what I'm talking about. It was a good one. I asked the question because while we all seem to agree that acquiring Luis Arraez and the price that was paid was certainly reasonable, good deal for the San Diego Padres, it's also a AJ Preller saving his butt sort of move, isn't it?
I mean, you
can make that argument. They weren't the first few years.
You know? Plenty of times.
The first few years of his GMing, it was build the farm system, don't need to win now. At this point.
Yeah, you got to win. You got to win, man.
You know, he is showing that you've got to win. He knows that there's a chance that if the Padres don't succeed this year, he may not get another opportunity to work his magic and do his draft thing and his international signing things. All the skills that AJ seems to bring to the table, he won't get any more chances unless the big league team actually has some success, because ultimately, that's what he's doing it all for. You can be the greatest talent evaluator in history. You can look and say, that guy's going to be good, that guy's going to be good. You can sign him internationally, you can draft him. But if you can't turn them into a winning big league ball club, you're not a very good general manager.
Yeah.
In Major League Baseball.
Yeah, correct.
Ultimately, that's why you're doing it all. So AJ needs to win. I feel like he needs to know it. And this move was definitely made trying to turn this team on a, you know, more of a shoestring budget compared to last year into a team that he thinks can, you know, make a run into a playoff spot and hopefully make an October run.
What to me that would look like, though, I'm going balls to the wall here, if I'm AJ Preller, is, okay, Salas is on the block. Okay, Leo DeBrees is on the block. Okay, Snelling and Lesko and Mazur and Bergert, all these guys are on the block because I got to save my ass. Who can I get? Maybe I can go out and get a Seth Lugo for Ethan Salas. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I saw the reports coming in from very well-respected people around, I mean, honestly, for me, when I saw he got rid of Woosuck Go, admitting fully, I made a mistake. We told you guys. We told you guys on the round table before. We told you before. Woosuck Go. It was not a fit. It just wasn't a fit. We talked to people at spring training. They're like, the nice way to say it is he lacks confidence. Getting rid of that, being able to flip him, along with some guys that were good in the Arizona Fall League, you know, for a couple of months and are doing okay right now in the minors, that may hit in 5 years. I just think this was one of his savvier moves. Plus getting them to pay the salary of Luis Arraez this year. It's about as savvy a move as you can make. I won't miss Wushuk Go. I promise you, neither will you. You probably won't miss Mortarella. You might miss Dylan Head, but I doubt it very much. I doubt it very much. Honestly, I looked at this and go, this one doesn't sting really even in the slightest. And the fact that they are paying his salary, leaving you more flexibility to make moves. I'm like, Peter Bendix, thank you, my friend.
I do think there
you just got Preller.
There are some handcuffs on A.J. Preller.
No question.
He cannot go over that luxury tax level.
Correct.
So any move that he makes, you could try to acquire all the great players in the world. And, hey, Ethan Salas and Lescu and Snelling, they're all on the table.
Still got
to
pay.
You still are going to have to pay.
Oh,
unless
yeah.
you can get everybody to pay the salaries of the guy you're acquiring. That's pretty rare. He got it this time. There are some handcuffs on A.J. Preller, and that is... You know, that's a reasonable thing for the Padres as a franchise to probably demand for the ownership, Eric Kinsella, to say, we've gone over the last couple of years. We're not a team that can pay triple penalties
Correct.
In the luxury tax market. So we've got to reset this year. Do what you want, you know, other than that. But, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to trade an Ethan Salas when you can only add a player now at this point that's worth a couple of million dollars.
And you know, I think if you work in the game of baseball, whether it is, you know, unless you're an owner and you work in the game of baseball, and I'm talking players, I'm talking coaches, I'm talking GMs, assistant GMs, I'm talking up and down the line, every move you make is to save your ass. That's the whole point of the game. You do what you have to
do.
You're
not making moves to jeopardize your status.
That's exactly right, man. And you know, you're not going to find a guy that's more willing to keep things exciting than A.J. Preller. Are they all the right moves? No, absolutely not. He's made some bonehead trades over the years. He knows that. There is never a shortage, though. You know, and the other thing, too, I thought about Arias, and I thought, you know, I saw somebody tweet like, oh, great, another mercenary. And I go, no, I don't feel that way about Luis Arraez. You saw how he got here and the reviews I got from somebody that we know and respect and knows Luis Arraez really well.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Said, you're going to die when you see what kind of human being he is. And you saw it the day he got there. It was like he's been here for 5 years. The makeup of him is such a better fit. And, like a Juan Soto at the time. I love Soto. Everybody knows that. Or a Brandon Drury or an Adam Frazier or anybody else. He walked in. He put on a Padres uniform. He looked like a Padre.
Yep.
And they all treated him like a Padre. Immediately, he fit right in
Did
here.
You see all the guys at the edge of the dugout?
Oh, it was incredible.
On the steps just looking going.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Oh, look at that. They're so excited to have this guy on their team. You could feel that
Dude,
over the
it
weekend.
It was such a good move to make this team better. And to get those immediate dividends, that's got to feel good for AJ. Because I'll tell you, if we were in that position and you make a move like that and the guy comes out and hits an 0-for-4 clunker, you're like, God dang it, here we go again. But to come in and make a splash like he did was awesome. And just watching him hit is a thing of beauty. It really, really is. And he looked so thrilled to be here. And that speaks volumes to me because we haven't really seen that. You know, we have not seen that from a lot of these acquisitions. So it's an A-plus move across the board. Argue with a wall at this point. Like, it was an A-plus move.
We have a lot of Padres talk coming up on the program today, including our weekly visit with in-season Sammy. Padres pre- and post-game show host Sam Levitt will be with us at 8:35. Regular features, Take on Woods and Don't Do This in our 7 o'clock hour. But let's get right into the weekend. We'll start with our Padres wrap-up from yesterday, although Friday and Saturday's
Much
games
better.
Were a lot more fun than yesterday's game. I did think there was some interesting discussion from Mike Shilto after the game yesterday about... He called it his Sparky Anderson philosophy. And we'll talk about Matt Waldron's struggles and the pitching rotation as well. That is coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, my social media channels are filled with the Tom Brady Netflix roast from last night.
Mine is rap beefs.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of rap beef chat this weekend. A lot of Tom Brady roasting, and then a lot of Dodger fans telling me Tony Gwynn actually wasn't that good, which was a fun debate.
Interesting take.
This weekend. Yeah, they're super smart and knowledgeable baseball fans. He wasn't that good. He's overrated.
I don't know what the big deal. Tom Brady was roasted for, what, a couple hours
like
last
three
night?
Hours.
3 hours. I get roasted for 20 hours a week.
That's true.
the constant
not
Ben
like that,
Higgins
you don't.
Roast.
Now, yes, I will say, we may pick apart things, because it's never from a place of meanness. It's always a place of, you're an interesting guy, in that you used to drive random people in your neighborhood to school that you didn't know. That's fascinating to me, that you were on, like, math teams.
That's not us roasting.
That's
you.
Not roasting. That's me going, lay down on the couch. Tell me how you felt when your mom's like, you have 6 pickups today, Ben. Who are these people? Should I take the minivan? Okay. That, to me, is more riveting than any Padres baseball talk that I could ever dream of having. You are the most fascinating human alive. And the best part is, you don't think you are. What did I tell you once? I told Ben, and this changed our show. I said, don't try to be funny. You tell me the most mundane thing you did the day before, I'll find something in it. And he's like, all right, fine.
The most boring part of your day. What was it?
What was the most mundane, everyday thing you did yesterday? And he'll be like, well, I went home and scrubbed the shower. And
I'm did.
Like, why did you scrub the shower?
I scrubbed the shower with a toothbrush. A soft scrub. You know, I like the smell.
You like the
soft scrub.
Yeah,
so
soft scrub.
Got the soft scrub out. Went to work on the grout this weekend just to make sure the shower was nice and clean.
You are incredible.
I believe Paulie has pulled some of the audio from the Tom Brady roast.
I watched almost all of it. It was long as hell. It was like damn near 3 hours.
3 hours, man.
And it started at 5. It was a live event on Netflix. And about 5:15, 5:30, we were done with dinner. I was like, let's throw it on. And it ended up being a pretty funny evening at home watching the roast. Everybody was really good. People you weren't expecting were amazing.
Yeah, Bill Belichick was hysterical.
Belichick,
I thought the jokes about Bill Belichick
were great too.
Also fairly funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those were great, too.
So, Paulie, you're pulling some of the best stuff. We'll get to it a little bit later in the program today. Want to get to our Padres wrap-up, though. It was an 11-4 loss yesterday, but some questions about the pitching rotation going forward. Get to that after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
1-0 to Marte, hit in the air to very deep right field. Fernando's going back. He's at the wall, looking, going to go. Two-run homer, Ketel Marte. Well, here's the Diamondback offense. They have been quiet all weekend, but they take a lead for the first time. 2-0, Arizona. You don't know where it's going. 1-0 lined up the middle, over the head of Kim into center field, and a base hit. Smith has scored. Walker's on his way. He will score. Ball gets through Higashioka. Waldron was not backing up in the right spot for where it goes, and Carroll ends up at second base. So a much-needed hit for Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks. Unfortunately for the Padres, it's a two-run single, and Arizona now leads 4-0. Left-handed batter with a runner on first, and he swings at the first pitch. Skies it to deep right field. Smith is back. It's going to go. A two-run homer for Jackson Merrill. He ambushes the fastball from Ryan Nelson, and the deficit is cut in half. 4-2 Arizona in the second. On the homestand, swings here, lines it over Suarez down the left field line. That's rocketing all the way into the corner. Kim is on his horse. He's rounding third. He is on his way. There will not be a relay. And Kyle Higashioka, an RBI double. This is a one-run game. 1-1. Here's the pitch. And Walker sends it in the air to deep right center field. Long run. Jackson Merrill into the gap. Can't get there. It'll one-hop up against the wall. McCarthy scores easily. Walker into second base, an RBI double. And now 6-3 Arizona. McCarthy at third, two down. Here's the 2-2. Walker chops it sharply to third. Knocked down by Manny. Picks it up. Not going to have a play. McCarthy will come in and score. An infield single for Christian Walker. And the Arizona lead is now 8-4. Here's the pitch. And that is skied in the air down the right field line. Fernando back to the corner at the wall. Going to go. Moonshot home run for Josh Peterson. A two-run homer here in the bottom of the fourth inning. It is now 10-4 Diamondbacks. Ball and two strikes to Barnhart. Brito ready. The pitch is chopped up the middle over the mound. Arise racing over to get it. Can't get it as it bounces into center field. Carroll will come in to score. Tucker Barnhart is 3 for 3. Drives it a run here, and it's 11-4 Arizona. A one pitch, Tatis takes off. Cronenworth hits it in the air to straightaway left field. Deep but playable. Randall Grichuk there, right in front of the warning track. He makes the catch, and the ball game is over. Diamondbacks avoid the sweep here this afternoon. They end the Padres' four-game winning streak, and they do so with an 11-4 victory on this Sunday afternoon at Chase Field.
Couldn't get it going on the mound to start. You know, Batty just wasn't able to get anything going consistently. You know, had to clean third, but then started the fourth and had to make a decision to get him out of there. But answered back twice, punched right back, stayed in it, but just, you know, couldn't hold him.
Sucked.
Mike Schilt talking about Matt Waldron's performance. And I think if you're a fan, I mean, even I am not immune to it. You watch Matt Waldron struggle early, and you go, he doesn't have it today.
Doesn't have it.
The knuckleballer, it's just the knuckleball isn't working. It's either fluttering way out of the zone, usually a pass ball by Higashioka, or it's just sitting there in the middle of the zone to be hit. And if he can't get that in, the rest of his stuff's not really good enough to be, you know, a quality major league pitcher. Why did you leave him out there into the fourth inning to give up 8 runs and really take away any chance you had to win the game?
Nobody likes this answer. Nobody likes
it's a tough one.
This answer. It's hard to explain, and it's really hard to make people understand it.
It is, because even the manager, I think, bristles a little bit at the reality of the situation. Mike Schilt is a competitive guy. We saw this with him, saw it with Bob Melvin before him. When you are chasing a big deficit by going to your bullpen early, and he brought up the name of Sparky Anderson. He said, you know, the former legendary Detroit Tigers manager. And he said, I read Sparky Anderson's book, and one thing that he recommended as a manager is you cannot constantly chase big deficits early. If you're going to your bullpen, because you see in the second inning, my guy doesn't have it, maybe you'll give yourself a 5% better chance to win the game that day, but you're probably hurting your chances to win the next 2 to 3 games by doing that, by torching your bullpen, asking for too many innings out of your bullpen arms. And he says that's the calculus you have to do as a manager sometimes.
So hard.
Sometimes you just have to hope that your starter figures it out, something locks in, and they can give you another 2 or 3 innings and hopefully keep you into the game where your offense can come back and win it. But sometimes that's not going to happen. Sometimes the starter's going to continue to struggle, and you're going to play your way out of a game like they did yesterday, and there's not much you can do about it as a big league skipper.
Well, I think, you know, from a fan perspective, too, I'm a fan. You know, we got down 4-0, and I'm like, all right, well, listen, time to wear it. That's exactly how I felt. Just, all right, get out there and wear it. Give me 5 innings, man. You know, we won the series. I think that has a lot to do with it as well. You look at what you've done the last couple of games. Well, we won this series. Yeah, we want this sweep. But like you said, chasing it. But the Padres battled right back. They fought back. And that's when it gets a little bit dicey of going, okay, well, we're right back in this thing. Do I now pull Waldron after 2-1 2/3 and hope we make a comeback? I think you can go either way. Really? Like, you absolutely could have gone to the pen there. But you had just gotten the news, too, about Joe Musgrove coming down. He's going on the IL. You're going in to take on Chicago. You've won this series. Nobody wants to. No team will ever hear a manager say, all right, guys, we're punting this one. Right? It's something that's, like, inherent. You know it's happening. You know it's happening. These guys have played enough baseball to know, all right, let's get our ABs. Let's put in work. Let's not give anything away. Let's try to make plays and do everything else. But, hey, and if something weird happens, great.
When the fifth guy in your rotation gives up 4 first-run innings, yep, and you can tell he just doesn't have it, you can't let that game that already may have gotten away from you, you can't let the next series get away from you because you've burned your entire bullpen.
Yeah, and again, with Joe going on the IL, too, you know you're not going to have him.
Have to make up some innings.
Well, you're going to have to make up some innings. I can understand both points. I really can. I can understand both sides. This was the decision that he made. Now, the decision to run Matt Waldron out there again against the Dodgers is certainly going to be another decision that needs to be made. I think they said they're 1-7 in his starts. He's had some decent starts. He's had some starts where, like you said earlier, Ben, if you get him a few runs, no problem. Probably gets those wins. He's also had some miserable clunkers. I defended him last week because he gave up four runs in six innings, and we had one hit. That's you take six innings, four runs from your number five starter almost every time. Every single number five starter's got an ERA four and above. You wear that, right? Do we have a better option? If we do, I say we employ it against the Dodgers.
As Michael G said, though, he held the Dodgers to one run when he faced them the last time.
That's the tough part.
And with Randy Vasquez now up and presumably going to pitch on Tuesday, tomorrow, instead of Joe Musgrove, doesn't give you a ton of options. You go with a bullpen day, you know, hold Johnny Brito back. Brito wasn't terrific yesterday, although he's been better lately. I think he's kind of earned a chance to maybe start some games. This may not be the week that you can make that move. Or you can try to call up one of your younger guys. Mazur, who's been pitching well. Snelling hasn't been quite as sharp lately, but he's an option down there. Burgert, I think, is another one of your top prospects. Are you ready to call up some of the young arms and is giving them a start against the Dodgers, you know, at home over the weekend? Is that the best landing spot for a rookie in their major league debut? I don't know. That's why A.J. Preller and Mike Schilt, you know, they make the big bucks to make these decisions. Did not work out yesterday for the San Diego Padres, though, as they lose 11-4. And while the offense did get those three runs and didn't get anything after that, I will say they did get 12 hits. Everybody in the lineup got at least one hit for the second straight day. There is a lot of positive signs about the San Diego Padres offense at the moment. There are still some concerns. You know, Xander Bogaerts, he's got a six-game hitting streak, but I think he's still hitting about 240 during his six-game hitting streak, and it's not with a ton of power or anything. You still wonder when he's going to get it going, if he's going to get it going. Tatis had the home run over the weekend, but had some swings and misses again yesterday. You know, Manny's starting to heat up a little bit. There are some positive signs for the San Diego Padres offense at the moment. Jackson Merrill is a road warrior.
Guy loves hitting on the
road. Heard the home run, another 2-for-4 yesterday. He is, I believe, leading Major League Baseball in batting average on the road. At Petco Park, he's been actually pretty miserable, but what else is new? Someone that can hit on the road but not at Petco Park. We've seen players like that throughout San Diego Padres history over the last 20 years, so nothing new for him. He'll figure it out. He'll get it going at Petco at some point. But, take him away from Petco Park, and he has been one of the better hitters in all of baseball so far and added his second home run of his career yesterday. Unfortunately, like I said, they couldn't add on. There was just too big of a deficit to come back from early in the game.
And you hate to be in that headspace, right, of, all right, well, we don't have a ton of other options. With Joe going down, you know, the Vasquez coming back up and Brito available, you long relief, whatever, maybe you employ an opener. I don't know what you do. You have to manage these games against the Cubs pretty intensely because they're a really good team as well. And then you got the Dodgers coming in. You're not going to go, we've talked about it, the mentality around the San Diego Padres against the LA Dodgers this year is they're just another team. It's nice to win games, but you're not going to rejigger your entire strategy to play them again. Those days, I think, are gone. It's just you don't want this week to get away from you. You got some really, really tough challenges this week. You just don't want it to get away from you.
I think you don't even want to know how scary the challenges are this week.
Oh, it's gnarly.
The Cubs we'll be starting three pitchers, starting with Justin Steele tonight.
No, Steele's tonight?
Steele's actually, they changed it around. So Steele is today.
He's nasty.
He's got a 1.93 ERA and was probably the biggest contender
for
against
Young.
Blake Snell for the Cy Young last year. He'll be the worst pitcher they're throwing in this series.
Very cool.
Tomorrow will be Shota Imanaga and his 0.78 ERA. And then, just in case you wondered, on Wednesday it's Hayden Wesnecki. He's got a 0.54 ERA this season. The Cubs starting pitchers have not given up a run in almost a week, and they are throwing the ball incredibly well. And you've got a big challenge in front of you the next 3 days. And then when that's over, you come back and face a red-hot Dodgers team that has won 11 of their past 13 games. Shohei Ohtani is on fire, had two more home runs yesterday. This is a tough, tough week for the San Diego Padres. I know we've said that a few times already this year.
Yeah.
Might be the toughest week they've faced yet in the 2024 baseball season. So they better come to play. I'm glad they've got another weapon in Luis Arraez to help maybe, you know, poke across a run or two somewhere in the lineup over these next six games, because they are facing a gauntlet this week.
And, you know, is now the time for Adrian Morejon to get a start? Because we were talking about it yesterday. He continues to look pretty nasty when he's in there. They're using him in 11-1 games, though. You know what I'm saying? And I think they're just maybe trying to build up a little trust. I mean, you know, you don't want to say, well, what's the worst that could happen? Because we've kind of seen the worst that can happen at times. But, you know, at this point, Benny, they're going to have to find an arm somewhere. Now, I saw a lot over the weekend. Oh, man, that's a nice trade for Arraez, but you got to trade for a pitcher, too. There's maybe a handful of teams willing to move a starting pitcher right now. And that prospect cachet going back is going to be pretty giant.
The Marlins are probably one of them, and their asking price on pitching would be so high. Yep. I mean, there's a reason why there wasn't a pitcher thrown in the deal.
Correct.
It's probably too high for the Padres right now. All right, we'll come back. Would you agree with me? Saturday, though, maybe one of the best days for Padres fans since they beat the Dodgers in the 2022 playoffs. It was awesome. We'll talk about it next on 97.3 The Fan. My social media channels are filled with the Tom Brady Netflix roast from last night.
Mine is rap beefs.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of rap beef chat this weekend. A lot of Tom Brady roasting. And then a lot of Dodger fans telling me Tony Gwynn actually wasn't that good, which was a fun debate.
Interesting take.
This weekend. Yeah, they're super smart and knowledgeable baseball fans. He wasn't that good. He's overrated.
I don't know what the big deal. Tom Brady was roasted for, a couple hours
like
last night?
Hours.
3 hours. I get roasted for 20 hours a week.
That's true.
The constant
not
Ben
like that,
Higgins
you don't.
Roast.
Now, yes, I will say, we may pick apart things, because it's never from a place of meanness. It's always a place of, you're an interesting guy, in that you used to drive random people in your neighborhood to school that you didn't know. That's fascinating to me, that you were on, like, math teams.
That's not us roasting.
That's
you.
Not roasting. That's me going, lay down on the couch. Tell me how you felt when your mom's like, you have six pickups today, Ben. Who are these people? Should I take the minivan? Okay. That, to me, is more riveting than any Padres baseball talk that I could ever dream of having. You are the most fascinating human alive. And the best part is, you don't think you are. What did I tell you once? I told Ben, and this changed our show. I said, don't try to be funny. You tell me the most mundane thing you did the day before, I'll find something in it. And he's like, all right, fine.
The most boring part of your day. What was it?
What was the most mundane, everyday thing you did yesterday? And he'll be like, well, I went home and scrubbed the shower. And
I'm did.
Like, why didn't you scrub the shower?
I scrubbed the shower with a toothbrush. A soft scrub. You know, I like the smell.
You like the
soft scrub.
Yeah,
smell, so.
Soft scrub.
Got the soft scrub out. Went to work on the grout this weekend just to make sure the shower was nice and clean.
You are incredible.
I believe Paulie has pulled some of the audio from the Tom Brady roast.
I watched almost all of it. It was long as hell. It was like damn near 3 hours.
3 hours, man.
And it started at 5. It was a live event on Netflix. And about 5:15, 5:30, we were done with dinner. I was like, let's throw it on. And it ended up being a pretty funny evening at home watching the roast. Everybody was really good. People you weren't expecting were amazing.
Yeah, Bill Belichick was hysterical.
Belichick,
I thought the jokes about Bill Belichick
those were great too.
Also fairly funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those were great, too.
So, Paulie, you're pulling some of the best stuff. We'll get to it a little bit later in the program today. Want to get to our Padres wrap-up, though. It was an 11-4 loss yesterday, but some questions about the pitching rotation going forward. Get to that after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
1-0 to Marte, hit in the air to very deep right field. Fernando's going back. He's at the wall, looking, going to go. Two-run homer, Ketel Marte. Well, here's the Diamondback offense. They have been quiet all weekend, but they take a lead for the first time. 2-0 Arizona. You don't know where it's going. 1-0 lined up the middle, over the head of Kim into center field. And and a base hit. Smith has scored. Walker's on his way. He will score. Ball gets through Higashioka. Waldron was not backing up in the right spot for where it goes. And Carroll ends up at second base. So a much-needed hit for Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks. Unfortunately for the Padres, it's a two-run single, and Arizona now leads 4-0. Left-handed batter with a runner on first, and he swings at the first pitch. Skies it to deep right field. Smith is back. It's going to go. A two-run homer for Jackson Merrill. He ambushes the fastball from Ryan Nelson, and the deficit is cut in half. 4-2 Arizona in the second. On the homestand, swings here, lines it over Suarez down the left field line. That's rocketing all the way into the corner. Kim is on his horse. He's rounding third. He is on his way. There will not be a relay. And Kyle Higashioka, an RBI double. This is a one-run game. 1-1. Here's the pitch. And Walker sends it in the air to deep right center field. Long run, Jackson Merrill into the gap. Can't get there. It'll one-hop up against the wall. McCarthy scores easily. Walker into second base, an RBI double. And now 6-3 Arizona. McCarthy at third, two down. Here's the 2-2. Walker chops it sharply to third. Knocked down by Manny. Picks it up. Not going to have a play. McCarthy will come in and score. An infield single for Christian Walker. And the Arizona lead is now 8-4. Here's the pitch. And that is skied in the air down the right field line. Fernando back to the corner at the wall. Going to go. Moonshot home run for Josh Peterson. A two-run homer here in the bottom of the fourth inning. It is now 10-4 Diamondbacks. Ball and two strikes to Barnhart. Brito ready. The pitch is chopped up the middle over the mound. Arise racing over to get it. Can't get it as it bounces into center field. Carroll will come in to score. Tucker Barnhart is 3-for-3. Drives in a run here, and it's 11-4 Arizona. A one pitch, Tatis takes off. Cronenworth hits it in the air to straightaway left field. Deep but playable. Randall Grichuk there, right in front of the warning track. He makes the catch, and the ball game is over. Diamondbacks avoid the sweep here this afternoon. They end the Padres' four-game winning streak, and they do so with an 11-4 victory on this Sunday afternoon at Chase Field.
Couldn't get it going on the mound to start. You know, Maddie just wasn't able to get anything going consistently. You know, had to clean third, but then started the fourth and had to make a decision to get him out of there. But answered back twice, punched right back, stayed in it, but just, you know, couldn't hold him.
Sucked.
Mike Schilt talking about Matt Waldron's performance. And I think if you're a fan, I mean, even I am not immune to it. You watch Matt Waldron struggle early, and you go, he doesn't have it today.
Doesn't have it.
The knuckleballer, it's just the knuckleball isn't working. It's either fluttering way out of the zone, usually a pass ball by Higashioka, or it's just sitting there in the middle of the zone to be hit. And if he can't get that in, the rest of his stuff's not really good enough to be, you know, a quality major league pitcher. Why did you leave him out there into the fourth inning to give up eight runs and really take away any chance you had to win the game?
Nobody likes this answer. Nobody likes
it's a tough one.
This answer.
I don't
it's
even
hard,
know that.
It's hard to explain, and it's really hard to make people understand it.
It is, because even the manager, I think, bristles a little bit at the reality of the situation. Mike Schilt is a competitive guy. We saw this with him, saw it with Bob Melvin before him. When you are chasing a big deficit by going to your bullpen early. And he brought up the name of Sparky Anderson. He said, you know, the former legendary Detroit Tigers manager. And he said, I read Sparky Anderson's book, and one thing that he recommended as a manager is you cannot constantly chase big deficits early. If you're going to your bullpen, because you see in the second inning, my guy doesn't have it, Maybe you'll give yourself a 5% better chance to win the game that day, but you're probably hurting your chances to win the next 2 to 3 games by doing that, by torching your bullpen, asking for too many innings out of your bullpen arms. And he says that's the calculus you have to do as a manager sometimes.
So hard.
Sometimes you just have to hope that your starter figures it out, something locks in, and they can give you another 2 or 3 innings and hopefully keep you into the game where your offense can come back and win it. But sometimes that's not going to happen. Sometimes the starter's going to continue to struggle, and you're going to play your way out of a game like they did yesterday, and there's not much you can do about it as a big league skipper.
Well, I think, you know, from a fan perspective, too, I'm a fan. You know, we got down 4-0, and I'm like, all right, well, listen, time to wear it. That's exactly how I felt. Just, all right, get out there and wear it. Give me five innings, man. You know, well, we won the series. I think that has a lot to do with it as well. You look at what you've done the last couple of games. Well, we won this series. Yeah, we want this sweep. But like you said, chasing it. But the Padres battled right back. They fought back. And that's when it gets a little bit dicey of going, okay, well, we're right back in this thing. Do I now pull Waldron after one and two thirds and hope we make a comeback? I think you can go either way. Really? Like you absolutely could have gone to the pen there. But you had just gotten the news too about Joe Musgrove coming down. He's going on the IL. You're going in to take on Chicago. You've won this series. Nobody wants to, no team will ever hear a manager say, all right, guys, we're punting this one, right? It's something that's like inherent. You know it's happening. You know it's happening. These guys have played enough baseball to know, all right, let's get our ABs. Let's put in work. Let's not give anything away. Let's try to make plays and do everything else. But, hey, and if something weird happens, great.
When the fifth guy in your rotation gives up four first-run innings, yep, and you can tell he just doesn't have it, you can't let that game that already may have gotten away from you, you can't let the next series get away from you because you've burned your entire bullpen.
Yeah, and again, with Joe going on the IL, too, you know you're not going to have him.
Have to make up some innings.
You're going to have to make up some innings. I can understand both points. I really can. I can understand both sides. This was the decision that he made. Now, the decision to run Matt Waldron out there again against the Dodgers is certainly going to be another decision that needs to be made. I think they said they're 1-7 in his starts. He's had some decent starts. He's had some starts where, like you said earlier, Ben, if you get him a few runs, no problem. Probably gets those wins. He's also had some miserable clunkers. I defended him last week because he gave up four runs in six innings, and we had one hit. That's you take six innings, four runs from your number five starter almost every time. Every single number five starter's got an ERA four and above. You wear that, right? Do we have a better option? If we do, I say we employ it against the Dodgers.
As Michael G said, though, he held the Dodgers to one run when he faced them the last time.
That's the tough part.
And with Randy Vasquez now up and presumably going to pitch on Tuesday, tomorrow, instead of Joe Musgrove, doesn't give you a ton of options. You go with a bullpen day, you know, hold Johnny Brito back. Brito wasn't terrific yesterday, although he's been better lately. I think he's kind of earned a chance to maybe start some games. This may not be the week that you can make that move. Or you can try to call up one of your younger guys. Mazur, who's been pitching well. Snelling hasn't been quite as sharp lately, but he's an option down there. Burgert, I think, is another one of your top prospects. Are you ready to call up some of the young arms and is giving them a start against the Dodgers, you know, at home over the weekend? Is that the best landing spot for a rookie in their major league debut? I don't know. That's why A.J. Preller and Mike Schilt, you know, they make the big bucks to make these decisions. Did not work out yesterday for the San Diego Padres, though, as they lose 11-4. And while the offense did get those three runs and didn't get anything after that, I will say they did get 12 hits. Everybody in the lineup got at least one hit for the second straight day. There is a lot of positive signs about the San Diego Padres offense at the moment. There are still some concerns. You know, Xander Bogaerts, he's got a six-game hitting streak, but I think he's still hitting about 240 during his six-game hitting streak, and it's not with a ton of power or anything. You still wonder when he's going to get it going, if he's going to get it going. Tatis had the home run over the weekend, but had some swings and misses again yesterday. You know, Manny's starting to heat up a little bit. There are some positive signs for the San Diego Padres offense at the moment. Jackson Merrill is a road warrior.
Guy loves hitting on the
road. Heard the home run, another 2-for-4 yesterday. He is, I believe, leading Major League Baseball in batting average on the road. At Petco Park, he's been actually pretty miserable, but what else is new? Someone that can hit on the road but not at Petco Park. We've seen players like that throughout San Diego Padres history over the last 20 years. So nothing new for him. He'll figure it out. He'll get it going at Petco at some point. But, take him away from Petco Park, and he has been one of the better hitters in all of baseball so far and added his second home run of his career yesterday. Unfortunately, like I said, they couldn't add on. There was just too big of a deficit to come back from early in the game.
And you hate to be in that headspace, right, of, all right, well, we don't have a ton of other options with Joe going down, you know, the Vasquez coming back up and Burrito available, you long relief, whatever. Maybe you employ an opener. I don't know what you do. You have to manage these games against the Cubs pretty intensely because they're a really good team as well. And then you got the Dodgers coming in. You're not going to go, we've talked about it, the mentality around the San Diego Padres against the LA Dodgers this year is they're just another team. Like, it's nice to win games, but you're not going to rejigger your entire strategy to play them again. Those days, I think, are gone. It's just you don't want this week to get away from you. You got some really, really tough challenges this week. You just don't want it to get away from you.
I think you don't even want to know how scary the challenges are this week.
Oh, it's gnarly.
The Cubs will be starting three pitchers, starting with Justin Steele tonight.
Oh, Steele's tonight?
Steele's actually, they changed it around. So Steele is today.
He's nasty.
He's got a 1.93 ERA and was probably the biggest contender
for
against
Young.
Blake Snell for the Cy Young last year. He'll be the worst pitcher they're throwing in this series.
Very cool.
Tomorrow will be Shota Imanaga and his 0.78 ERA. And then, just in case you wondered, on Wednesday it's Hayden Wesnecki. He's got a 0.54 ERA this season. The Cubs starting pitchers have not given up a run in almost a week, and they are throwing the ball incredibly well. And you've got a big challenge in front of you the next 3 days. And then when that's over, you come back and face a red-hot Dodgers team that has won 11 of their past 13 games. Shohei Ohtani is on fire, had two more home runs yesterday. This is a tough, tough week for the San Diego Padres. I know we've said that a few times already this year.
Yeah.
Might be the toughest week they faced yet in the 2024 baseball season. So they better come to play. I'm glad they've got another weapon in Luis Arraez to help maybe, you know, poke across a run or two somewhere in the lineup over these next six games, because they are facing a gauntlet this week.
And, you know, is now the time for Adrian Morejon to get a start? Because we were talking about it yesterday. He continues to look pretty nasty when he's in there. They're using him in 11-1 games, though. You know what I'm saying? And I think they're just maybe trying to build up a little trust. I mean, you know, you don't want to say, well, what's the worst that could happen? Because we've kind of seen the worst that can happen at times. But, you know, at this point, Benny, they're going to have to find an arm somewhere. Now, I saw a lot over the weekend. Oh, man, that's a nice trade for Arraez, but you got to trade for a pitcher, too. There's maybe a handful of teams willing to move a starting pitcher right now. And that prospect cachet going back is going to be pretty giant.
The Marlins
imagine.
Are probably one of them, and their asking price on pitching would be so high.
Yep.
I mean, there's a reason why there wasn't a pitcher thrown in the deal.
Correct.
It's probably too high for the Padres right now. All right, we'll come back. Would you agree with me? Saturday, though, maybe one of the best days for Padres fans since they beat the Dodgers in the 2022 playoffs. It was awesome. We'll talk about it next on 97.3 The Fan.